Wednesday, August 20th. Memorial of St. Bernard, Doctor of the Church. The first reading from Judges chapter 9, verses 6 through 15. All the citizens of Shechem and all Beth Millo came together and proceeded to make Abimelech king by the terebinth at the memorial pillar in Shechem. When this was reported to him, Jotham went to the top of Mount Gerizim and, standing there, cried out to them in a loud voice, "Hear me, citizens of Shechem, that God may then hear you." Once the trees went to anoint a king over themselves. So they said to the olive tree, "Reign over us." But the olive tree answered them, "Must I give up my rich oil, whereby men and gods are honored, and go to wave over the trees?" Then the tree said to the fig tree, "Come, you reign over us." But the fig tree answered them, "Must I give up my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to wave over the trees?" Then the trees said to the vine, "Come, you and reign over us." But the vine answered them, "Must I give up my wine that cheers gods and men, and go to wave over the trees?" Then all the trees said to the buckthorn, "Come, you reign over us." But the buckthorn replied to the trees, "If you wish to anoint me king over you in good faith, come and take refuge in my shadow. Otherwise let fire come from the buckthorn and devour the cedars of Lebanon." Haydock Commentary. As Abimelech was a figure of the Antichrist, who will reign for a time, so Jotham denotes the pastors of the church, who shall stand up for the truth. By this parable, Jotham expostulates with the men of Shechem, who had so basely requited the labors of Gideon and had given preference to the son of a servant, who was of the most savage temper. In a spiritual sense, which the fathers chiefly regard, heretics and schismatics act in this manner, and choose rather to be governed by those who will allow them to follow their passions than by such governors as God has appointed, though the latter be endued with the grace of the Holy Ghost and with all virtues, signified by the olive and other fruit trees. They prefer the bramble or the worst dispositions, like Nimrod, Mahomet, and the Antichrist, who, after persecuting the virtuous, will in the end prove their ruin, though they themselves be involved in the common destruction. Fire shall rise against this bramble Antichrist, and shall devour him and all his together. We need not imagine that the people of Shechem offered the sovereign authority to many who refused to accept of it, and at last only prevailed upon Abimelech. Gideon had indeed rejected a similar offer, and his other sons, not endeavoring to retain the authority of their father, the Shechemites acceded to the petition of Abimelech to anoint him king. The olive tree is introduced because oil was used both in the worship of the true God and in that of the false gods, whom the Shechemites served. The pagans burnt lamps in honor of their idols and anointed their statues. It spiritually denotes the grace of God which establishes the peace of the soul, as the fig tree signifies the sweetness of God's law, producing good works, and the vine shows forth those noble actions which are performed without the affection of an outward show, and which are therefore most agreeable both to God and to men. The bramble bush is here put for any base and ambitious man. Jotham hints at the insolence of Abimelech and foretells that he and his foolish subjects will soon be at variance and destroy each other. The people of Shechem began soon to despise their new king, and he made war upon them and destroyed their city. Tyrants promise much, but their rage soon falls upon the more wealthy and powerful citizens, here signified by the cedars. The Gospel from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. Jesus told his disciples this parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You too go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just.' So they went off. And he went out again around noon and around 3 o'clock and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, he found others standing around and said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They answered, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You too go into my vineyard.' When it was evening, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first.' When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat.' He said to one of them in reply, My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous? Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last. Haydock Commentary. The conduct of God and the choice he makes of members for his spiritual kingdom, the church, and of his elect for the kingdom of heaven, is not unlike that of the father of a family who hires workmen to labor in his vineyard. There are various opinions respecting who are meant by the first and by the last in this parable. Many of the fathers suppose that the saints of different states and degrees are here designed, whose reward will suffer no diminution from the circumstances of their having come to the service of Christ at a late age of the world. This is the opinion of Saints Hilary, Gregory, and Theophylactus. Or at a late age of life, according to St. Basil, Jerome, and Fulgentius. In the latter case, however, we must understand that their greater fervor in cooperating with divine grace in the latter part of their life has supplied and compensated for the defect of their preceding negligence. Hence it may sometimes happen that the reward of such as enter late in life on the service of God will exceed that of the less fervent who have entered at an earlier period. But as Christ rather seems to speak here of his militant than his triumphant church, many commentators explain the parable of the Jews and Gentiles. For the Jews, after bearing the yoke of the Mosaic law for so many ages, receive nothing more than what was promised to the observance of that law, whilst Christians receive a more plentiful reward for their more easy labor under the sweet yoke of the gospel. In which sense Christ says to the Jews in Luke 13:29, "Publicans and harlots shall go before you into the kingdom of heaven. Strangers shall come from the east and from the west and the north and the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, they that are last shall be first, and they are first that shall be last." Hence the Jews may be supposed to murmur that they who are first in their vocation to be the people of God, and first in the observance of his law, should not be preferred to others, who in these respects have been far posterior to them. By the vineyard, says St. John Chrysostom, we here understand the commandments of God. The time for labor is the present life. In the first, third, sixth, ninth, and 11th hours, that is, in infancy, youth, manhood, declining years, and extreme decrepitude of age, many individuals, yielding to the effective call of God, labor in the exact performance of the divine commandments. God is master and disposer of all, who by his grace calls some sooner, some later. The marketplace in which men are so often found idle as to the great concern of their eternal salvation is the world. The design of this parable was to show that the Gentiles, though called later than the Jews, should be made partakers of the promises made to the Jews. In saying, "I will give you what shall be just," the prospect of a reward is therefore a good motive, authorized by Christ himself. We must observe here, says Chrysostom on the words, "because no man hath hired us," that this is the voice of the laborers only in excuse for their not having entered upon their work before this late hour. For the master of the vineyard had shown his willingness to hire them all by going out early for that purpose. Though the fault was their own, he does not upbraid them, but abstains from all harshness and severity, that he may the more easily engage them. By those who labored all the day in the vineyard, we are to understand such as have spent their whole lives in the service of God. But we are not thence to infer that in the kingdom of heaven, where all receive their just reward, there is envy, discontent, or any complaint. By these words, Christ wishes to convey to our minds an idea of the immense honors that will be heaped upon all such as return with sincerity, though at the decline or even verge of life, to the Almighty. So exceeding great will be their reward that it would excite envy, were it possible, even in the elect. Jesus Christ does not count so much the number of years as the fervor and diligence we employ in his service. Calvin is rather unfortunate in his choice of this parable to prove his favorite tenet, that salvation is not the reward of good works, but of faith alone, or predestination, because Jesus Christ represents heaven as given wholly as a just reward of meritorious labor in the vineyard. A truly humble Christian will be ever satisfied with his lot, without envying that of others. As star differeth from star in glory in the firmament, see 1 Corinthians 15:41, so will there be different degrees of glory in heaven. On the part of God, all are called, see Matthew 11:28. In effect, many after their call have attained to faith and justification, but few in comparison are elected to eternal glory, because the far greater part do not obey the call, but refuse to come, whilst many of those who come fall away again. And thus very few, in comparison with those that perish, will at the last day be selected for eternal glory.